It was 150 years ago that it was on January 1st, actually, 1863, that Abraham Lincoln officially issued the Emancipation Proclamation, that slaves within any state or designated part of a state in rebellion shall be then thenceforward free forever. And then finally, 2 years later, in 1865, the 13th Amendment was adopted that officially abolished slavery in the United States. Slavery did exist in this country. It's one of the ugly blemishes that stain the history of this country. And so one of the reasons that February is noted as Black History Month, it's celebrated to honor the advancements of Black Americans in this nation. And so it's a month that emphasizes that. I'd like to look at a topic today that is similar. We haven't covered this, I don't think, in a while. And it is something that God wanted Israel to remember. There is something specific that he wanted Israel to remember. So as we turn to Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, think in your mind what it would be, what is it that God wanted Israel to remember? Deuteronomy 5, verse 15. This is in the commandment of the Sabbath. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out from there by the mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Remember, you were a slave. God brought them out, and they were to keep the Sabbath. Verse 14 emphasizes the Sabbath. It's the seventh day. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your ox or donkey or your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates, nor your male servant or your female servant, that they may rest as well. So that the servants were to rest as well. And then remember, you were a slave in Egypt. So that's what we're going to be discussing today. The topic is on Israel's captivity, what they were to learn, and what we're to learn as well. And so the title is Coming Out of Slavery. Coming Out of Slavery. It's hard to believe, a month and a half, less than a month and a half, we're going to be remembering and celebrating Israel's release from slavery in Egypt. And ours from this world. But let's take a look at how Israel became enslaved. How did that happen? How that slavery in Egypt began? So we go all the way back to Exodus 1. Exodus 1. Israel was a free nation. They came in through Jacob, during the time of Joseph. Exodus 1, verse 1. These are the names of the children of Israel who came into Egypt. Each man and his household came with Jacob. And then we find in verse 7 that the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. There arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we are. Come, let's deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war that they join our enemies and fight against us and go up out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens. and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. So they served, as we find in verse 13, with rigor. That means with harshness. The Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with harshness, rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, in all manner of service in the field. And all their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. This was slavery. They were slaves, and they were under a lot of harshness in their slavery. So what did they do? Chapter 2, verse 23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. So there's another king now. And the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, the slavery. And they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage, or the slavery. Verse 24. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It isn't that God forgot his covenant. Remembered here in the Hebrew could also refer to God was mindful. He was mindful of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. So he then calls Moses to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, out of slavery. And things went from bad to worse. Let's look at chapter 5 and verse 2. Chapter 5 and verse 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who's the Lord? Who is he that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go." So they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please, let's go 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with sword." And the king of Egypt said, "Why are you taking these people away from their work? You get them back to work." Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many. Now you make, and you make them rest from their labor?" So the same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters, the people, and their officers, saying, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make brick as before. Let them go and gather the straw for themselves, and you shall lay on them the quota of bricks which they made before." Same quota of bricks. So Moses was trying to get them out to worship God. Pharaoh said, "No, you're making them rest. No way, I'm not going to let you make them rest." It's kind of interesting that God told Israel to keep the Sabbath and to remember that they were slaves in Egypt because they could not rest in Egypt. Under their bondage, under their slavery, they could not do that. And so the day of rest was on the Sabbath, was to be a rest for them and their servants too. Their servants had to rest. That wasn't that way in Egypt. And they were not to be like Pharaoh, who demanded work every day. So Pharaoh made them work harder. Now God allowed Israel to suffer, but he also wanted them to always remember from where they came, what they had been. They were oppressed slaves in Egypt. You know, oftentimes we see that Israel wanted to go back to Egypt, and all they thought about were the good things they had in Egypt. And God is saying, if you want to look back to Egypt, look at what you were. You were slaves in Egypt. So with this background of what God wanted them to remember, let's look at some situations and laws that God had told Israel to keep, which also required them to look back at their past slavery. And often these laws that we'll look at here in Deuteronomy, let's go to Deuteronomy 15 for the first one. These laws dealt with how Israel was to treat those less fortunate than they were. Deuteronomy 15, verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. Remember, you were a slave. God redeemed you, and I want you to do this. Well, what is the command here? What did God want them to do? Verse 12. If your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free. And when you send him away from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. And you shall supply him liberally from your flock and your threshing floor and from your winepress. From what the Lord your God has blessed you with, you shall give to him. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. So here we have the law of indentured servitude. To pay off a debt, someone became a servant of the lender. But notice that when he was to be freed, he was to be given supplies and goods. Just as Israel came out of Egypt and received the spoil of Egypt and took the spoil of Egypt with them, God is saying, this is what I want you to do when they leave from you, from this servitude here. Deuteronomy 16, verse 12. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes. What statutes? When you look into chapter 16, we're talking about the holy days. We're also talking about verse 11. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and your son and your daughter and your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are among you, at the place that the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Rejoice, you and all of these other people. Remember, you were a slave. You were a slave. So don't neglect other people. Don't neglect those who, out of circumstances that are beyond their control, like someone who's fatherless or someone who is a widow or someone who is a stranger. Take care of them. Help them. Help them enjoy the feast. Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24, verse 18. But that you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there, therefore I command you to do this thing. Well, now we see another law being brought up here. What thing? It's actually mentioned twice in verse 17 and verse 19. You shall not pervert justice due the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment as a pledge. Verse 19, when you reap the harvest of your field and forget a sheaf in the field, don't go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, that the Lord God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Don't pervert justice due them. Let them glean from the fields. And remember, verse 22, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. It's mentioned in verse 18 and verse 22. So we find these laws of God saying, I don't want you to forget what you were. Now, a question comes up, and that is, why did God allow slavery in Israel? In Israel. Let's look at a couple of verses on this. Leviticus 25. Leviticus 25, verse 39. Leviticus 25, verse 39. And if one of your brethren who dwells by you becomes poor and sells himself to you, you shall not compel him to serve as a slave. But as a hired servant and a sojourner, he will be with you and serve you until the year of the Jubilee. And then he shall depart from you and shall return to the possession of his fathers. They are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt, that they shall not be sold as slaves. You shall not rule over them with rigor. You shall fear the Lord your God. So one example was this law of indentured servants, as we saw earlier in Deuteronomy. There were stipulations, though. Don't treat the person as a slave. Now, you see in verse 44 a different aspect, a different scenario. And as for your male and female slaves, whom you may have from the nations that are around you, from them you may buy male and female slaves. That seems incongruous. We're seeing what Israelites were to do with Israelites. Now we find a category here of people who were taken slavery from these other nations. Moreover, you may buy the children of the strangers who dwell among you and their families who are with you, which they begot in your land, and they will become your property. And you may take them as an inheritance for your children after you, so they would be part of the inheritance that would go on to the children. To inherit them as a possession, they shall be your permanent slaves. But regarding your brethren, the children of Israel, you shall not rule over one another with rigor. So these are peoples from the other nations that were conquered territories that God gave to Israel. These were those who came from areas such as Edom and Moab and Syria, Lebanon, all of those areas outside of the Promised Land, all of those nations within the Promised Land, all of those peoples within the Promised Land were to be eliminated. They'd have their opportunity in the second resurrection, as all people will. But there were some from areas outside the Promised Land where they could go ahead and take slaves. And you see that throughout the Samuel and Kings and Chronicles. And they became the property of those in Israel. So God allowed this. But he also had rules. He also had some rules. Deuteronomy 23. We also see, again, this emphasis, don't treat Israelites with rigor. And you could be sure that was also being taught, don't treat other people with rigor. Because remember, you were a slave in Egypt. But Deuteronomy 23, verse 15. Deuteronomy 23, verse 15. You shall not give back to his master the slave who has escaped from his master to you. He may dwell with you in your midst, in the place which he chooses within one of your gates, where it seems best to him. You shall not oppress him. What's this all about? So if you had a slave and he fled from you, went down the road and stayed with his neighbor, the neighbor was not to take that slave and give him back to his master. He was to stay with the other, where he had fled to. Was this applied in this country? No way. No way. When a slave fled to another part of the country, masters would pay slave hunters. paid them to find them. They would come up even into the free states of the North to try to find these slaves. And hence you had the slave railroad, the Underground Railroad. And slaves would pass through to get up into these northern states away from their masters. It was a cruel business that took place. There's a fascinating story, if you ever get a chance, to either read it or see it online on the History Channel. It's called The Prince Among Slaves, or 40 Years as a Slave. It's about a story of a prince who was actually captured and taken to be a prince of a very wealthy nation in Africa, who is to be taken as a slave. And he tried to escape. And the slave hunters were out after him. And he realized he could not get away. So what he did is he returned to his master and served his master and became actually a benefit to his master because he knew how to grow cotton better than his master did and helped him become very wealthy. He became a very wealthy landowner that his master did. Somebody found him or recognized him who had been a missionary years ago and recognized him, who he was. And it was a very big media event that here was a prince in slavery. And he actually had an audience with President, I believe it was John Quincy Adams. But the owner refused to sell him because he was very profitable to him. Eventually, things worked out where he was sold out of his slavery. He was redeemed out of his slavery, he and his wife, but not the kids. The kids had to stay. So he was able to go back to Africa, but his kids, he never saw them again. Very sad. What's really discouraging to me about all of this is that the slave owner's last name was Foster. And, you know, I just hope that that was another side of the family. But I've heard other things about our family that one wonders. But the point is that I see that this affected so many people in the United States. It became a business. And there was a program on history the other night. It was just so sad. You hate to see what happened. God wanted Israel to remember what they were. They were slaves under bondage. And don't look back to Egypt to think that everything was good. It was not good. And in a sense, when we look at what happened here in this country, it was not good for those people at that time. And I'm very thankful for the amendment that came through. But there's something else to consider, and this is also millennial, but let's look at Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56. And here is the scripture that Mr. Armstrong used to show that Gentiles are to keep the Sabbath. When he had his famous altercation with Mr. Belshaw, and that's in his autobiography. Isaiah 56, verse 6. Also, the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. So that's in the future. And this is when Gentiles will be able to be keeping the Sabbath, and they will be also offering sacrifices, and they will be accepted on my altar. But the idea is that those who are Gentiles and join themselves to the Lord, they become God's servants. And when you are God's servants, you're blessed. These slaves were part of the households of Israel. And remember what they were to do on the Sabbath? Everyone was to rest, including them. So they were all part of this household that would be blessed by God because they were all obeying God. And so they had that opportunity. The Sabbath was for everyone. So as these people became integrated in Israel, they did also receive the blessings. They also received the curses when there was disobedience. All right, now what lessons can we learn about the slavery of Israel while they dwelt in Egypt? What about us? How did we come into slavery? Well, Satan, of course, deceived Adam and Eve. And humanity has been deceived ever since, including all of us. Let's look at Galatians 4. Galatians 4 and verse 3. Galatians 4 and verse 3. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has called forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. We were in bondage as to what the world was, and is still in bondage. We were oppressed, and we were held away from the truth and held away from freedom. We lived in error. John 8 says that truth makes us free. We were granted the truth through our calling. We repented. We were made free of our sins because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. And now we have God the Father, and he has begotten us to be his sons and daughters. The gift is for everyone. Let's look at Galatians 3, verse 26. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ. No matter who we are, what kind of background we have, once we have been called and we have accepted Jesus Christ and have been baptized, have our sins forgiven, we are part of the body of Jesus Christ. And if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So all of us here are heirs according to the promise. We are Abraham's seed of seed. We are no longer slaves of Satan. But there's some warnings to us as Israel was given. Remember from where we came. Romans 6. Let's look at Romans 6, verse 20. Romans 6 and verse 20. Romans 6 and in verse 20. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in those things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death, while we were slaves to sin. Now verse 17. Let's go back and see verse 17. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Now we yield to God. God is this benevolent master, and we yield to him. We are slaves of God, of righteousness, but not of this world. And so we yield to God. In verse 22, we've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. You have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. And so our way of doing things now, instead of leading to death, leads to life. But we're also warned here in 2 Peter 2. Let's look at 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2, verse 18. For when they speak swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in terror. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. For when they, who's the they? Verse 15, they have forsaken the right way. They've gone astray. They followed the way of Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. The ways of this world. What goes on in this world? They forgot that they were slaves to sin. And they look at the goodness they think is in the world. And it's really sad to see so many that I have known, a lot of you have known too, and how they don't have the same beliefs anymore. They just don't have any, they're gone totally back into society. And it's really sad. Now, thankfully, God gives everybody a chance to repent, and I'm sure many people will eventually. But the point is, we can't do that. We got to remember, we were slaves to sin. Remember, you were slaves in the land of Egypt. We have to remember, we were slaves in this world with the evil that goes on in this world, with everything that is against God. And we had to fully come out. Our freedom was orchestrated by God. He called us, and he brought us out from what we were under. As he led Israel powerfully out of Egypt, he led us powerfully out of the way we had lived in the past. And so there's no turning back. Now, some questions have come out about what God expects of his people regarding the actual issues of slavery itself. First of all, the laws of the land forbid it, and we are not to become a slave holder. Unfortunately, the world around us, we see a lot of it going on even. Human trafficking is epidemic, and it's horrific of what some are having to go through even now in this day and age. We as Christians should not be involved in that whatsoever, of any human slavery. Now let's look at these biblical principles over here in 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7, these are principles here. Verse 20. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Don't be concerned about it, but if you can be made free, rather use it. For he is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who is called while he is free is Christ's slave. The point is, at that particular time, there were people being called into the church in Corinth. Some were freemen, and some were slaves. The point is if you were a slave, that's what you continued in it. But if you could be made free, if it could work out that you could have your freedom, then use that. Try to find that if you can. Now, there was an instance of slavery that we see very clearly in the New Testament. It's the story of Onesimus. He was a runaway slave from Philemon. Philemon is the story, the letter that Paul wrote to him to take Onesimus back. That's kind of interesting. We saw what the laws were in the Old Testament. Here we see that Onesimus was encouraged to go back to Philemon, and Philemon was to treat him as a brother. And you see that in that whole book. It's a very interesting chapter. He encouraged him to go back, and Onesimus, the slave, did go back. And so you find it's a very short book, but it has a lot of interesting information in it. Whole sermons have been given about that. Now, one other point, verse 23. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. Do not put yourself in that particular situation. We are slaves of Christ. He owns us by his shed blood. We are his property. And therefore, we're not to become slaves of men. That would include the military, either in a non-combatant or combatant position. When you go into the military, you lose freedoms. You lose the opportunity, the ability to keep the Sabbath and holy days and other issues. And you come under military rules and guidelines. And it's all designed to kill the enemy, which is against the command of God. I know when I was facing the draft and I was explaining my position, this was one of the verses I used, that I was not to come under that authority, which did not follow the laws of God, of keeping the Sabbath, etc. So that's one issue we also emphasize as well. We are not to put ourselves into those positions. So even though there were laws and principles in the Old Testament about slavery, we see now that Jesus Christ is our master. We yield to him. He's made us free from sin and from this world's evils. And only he can do that. Now, before we conclude, got just a few minutes here, let's look at two other scriptures. Let's look at Revelation 18, verse 11. Revelation 18, verse 11. There's going to be something in the future that is going to take place. It's in verse 11 of Revelation 18, and the merchants in the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise. And what did the merchandise include? Look at the end of verse 13. Bodies and souls of men. The beast power will be greatly involved in slave trading. And that means captivity. That means people being brought into bondage. It will come upon the descendants of Jacob. And we know that's Jacob's trouble. But Christ will intervene. He will come and he will remove Israel out of bondage and bring those captives home. And he will bring them back into the promised land. And their slavery will end once again. But then we see another prophecy in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 14, verse 1 to 3. The Lord will have mercy on Jacob. He will still choose Israel and settle them in their own land. The strangers will be joined with them. They will cling to the house of Jacob. Then people will take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel will possess them for servants and maids. In the land of the Lord, they will take them captive, whose captives they were, and rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord gives you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and the hard bondage in which you were made to serve. And that's future. So all those who kept them captive, they're going to bring them into the land to become their, as it says, servants and maids. The former captors will be the servants and maids of the returning Israelites. But God is going to remind Israel, remember you were a slave. And when you remember you were a slave, you're going to treat people differently. You're going to treat people kindly and not the way they were treated before. They will remember where they came from. So as God brought Israel out of Egypt, as God brought us out of the lands of the world in which we live, God is also going to bring the descendants of Israel out of bondage later after the tribulation. And the instruction will always be to remember that you were a slave in Egypt. And I believe that's going to be an ongoing admonition. Not only remember you were a slave in Egypt, you were a slave before his intervention. Remember from where you came. So as we do prepare for the upcoming holy days, let's be those who remember what Israel was supposed to remember, and that we should no longer be slaves to the world, but slaves of Jesus Christ. And look forward to the true freedom that comes once the kingdom of God is fully established.